Greetings from Myrtle Beach. Thank you again for the opportunity to come and share with you. Just pray that the Lord will bless His Word. I was just open in prayer. Lord, teach us Your ways. And help us to believe when there's so much falseness around leading us astray, to know that Your Word is truth. And we pray for each heart, any that may not be saved, that they might come to know You. And Your saints would be edified and built up. We thank You, Lord, in Your name. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 19. Starting with verse 41. And when He was come near, He beheld the city, wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from Your eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, shall lay thee even with the ground, thy children within you. They shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. You ever been to Israel and to Jerusalem? They sometimes show you the stations of the cross, they say, and the Via Della Rosa. They say, this is the path that Jesus walked when He was going to the cross. But you know, the actual street level during the time of the Lord was about 10 or 12 feet lower than any of the streets that are there now. And any of those walls that were there that you see in the old city, they were built hundreds of years later. Because like the Lord had prophesied, the city, on one stone was left upon another. It was destroyed. It was in ruins because they didn't know the time of their visitation. Now look at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. By the way, when Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70, that was the second time it had been destroyed. Initially, it was by Babylon. And the Jews say that it was exactly the same date that the temple was destroyed. The ninth of the month of Av, Tisha Av, they say. But here in Proverbs 25, verse 28, listen to what it says. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. If you go to these ruins and see these ruins, you have to remember they were once a great city. And now it's in ruins. Now it's in corruption. Now it's in destruction. And Solomon tells us that that's like our lives. When you have no rule over your spirit. When you have no self-control in your life, the enemy comes in, breaks down the wall that's there for your protection, and the enemy rushes in and destroys your life. Peter tells us that our enemy is like a roaring lion going about, seeking whom he may devour. And how does he do it? He gets you to have no self-control. No rule over your own spirit. And how do we see this today? Where the so-called PhDs are telling everybody, well, you need self-esteem. You need self-actualization, self-realization. You need more of self. They don't tell you you need self-control. And you know, the Bible tells us, parents, discipline your children. Teach them self-control. The world says, oh no, let them go on. They'll find their own way. They'll find their way, right? But it won't be a way of destruction. It will be like looking over a city that was once great. I mean, the disciples had looked at the Lord and said, Lord, look at all these great buildings, the stones, and how wonderful it is. That's what prompted the Lord to look at it and say, see it all destroyed. Is your life like that? or you will, without self-control. The enemy has gotten in one area or another of sin to bring corruption. We had it in our Sunday school. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The world tells you that that verse is not true. They have a virtual world of movies and internet that, what does it say? It says that you can sin and enjoy sin and there are no consequences to it. Break God's law is by Ten Commandments, not to follow that. There's no consequences to breaking it. Somebody said, we never break God's laws. We violate them, and then they break us. Think about that. The physical laws of nature, we can't go. You're stuck with them. You have to live by them. You might say all you want, I don't believe in the law of gravity. Test it sometime. Violate it and see how it breaks you. Well, in the spiritual world, in the moral world, it's the same. If you sow to your flesh corruption, you'll reap corruption. Jerusalem was a city in ruins because they had the Word of God. They knew the Ten Commandments. They knew what God wanted, but they followed idols. They followed something else. I know better. Started with Adam and Eve. The Lord says, don't eat of it. He warned them, if you eat of it, you'll surely die. Eve says to the serpent, well, God said, maybe we'll die. He said, and she even misquoted it. She said, God said, don't touch it, lest you die. And God never said that. He said, don't eat of it. And perhaps when she touched it and nothing happened, she said, well, maybe that was right. Nothing happened. And then you go and take. Isn't that the way it starts in our lives? We say with our children, you need to teach them self-control. You need to teach them to be subject. Because if you let them go their own way, you hate your children. You hate them if you let them go their own way. And don't just change the subject. I see a lot of parents today, they're afraid to confront their children and go against their will. And they change the subject to something else. Oh, they want this, and they're going to throw a tantrum if they don't. Well, I'll give you this. Just don't do that. They can play you fiddle. They need to learn a point in their life where they listen to you and obey you even when they don't want to. And parents, it's our responsibility to teach them that so they learn self-control. You give them incentive for self-control. You give them incentive for obeying your word, and you will set them on the right path. If you don't, and let them go their own way, find their own way, you're just letting them become a city that becomes in ruins, because the devil likes to destroy. He's out to destroy, and to kill, and to slay. We have an enemy out there. Thank God that he loves us. Even though we go our own way and we can make a mess of our own lives, and many of us, we know the sins that we have allowed. The first step in breaking, in going against your conscience, in going against God's word, you hesitate. But when you take the step, you enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but then you have the guilt. But then you take the second step, it's a little easier. The third step, the fourth. Before you know it, you've developed a habit. At first you say, I can break it anytime I want. It's not going to destroy me. But after a while, you can't break it. It has you in bondage. It brings you down to destruction. Once one part of the wall is broken in, the enemy rushes in and he doesn't stop at that one area. He'll lead to another. To another until he has you a complete ruin. And people go visit and they look at you and say, wow, Angel, look at the mess. Thank God it doesn't end there. That God rebuilds messes. Even things that we recognize were our own fault. And that's the first step. recognize where you are before God. That's partly what repentance is. Repentance is agreeing with God about our sin. And faith is agreeing with God about His Son, about the one who can rebuild a broken and destroyed life. The enemy doesn't want you to admit that you're at fault, that you've brought yourself into this condition of ruin, like the city without walls, and it's just an archaeological site. He wants you to accuse somebody else, excuse yourself. Society made me do it. The devil made me do it. I wouldn't do it if such and such wasn't the case. Somebody said, a friend of mine recently said, when you accuse and excuse, it allows you to retain your self-righteousness, and two, it allows you to maintain your sin. So you never get anywhere. You stay a ruin. But God is in the process of rebuilding ruins. And the first step is to turn back to Him, to acknowledge your ruin. Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians, and we're given several books of the Bible that talks about rebuilding a ruined life, a ruined city. Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah. One of the verses that we had this morning that mentioned in Jeremiah, he was in the midst of the idolatry in Jerusalem and kept warning them, this city will be destroyed if you don't turn away from the idols, from the false gods, from your own way. And they wouldn't listen. Zechariah, and Jeremiah was telling him about the branch. Zechariah, he's at the time of the rebuilding. He tells him about the branch. Again, he points them to the one who can rebuild a life. And the first thing they rebuilt when they went back to Jerusalem was the temple. The place of sacrifice was to go back to realize that the Lord was not in their midst anymore. His glory had left the temple because of their sin. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here. Maybe you're not saved and you feel that the Lord is not in your life. And you look at your life and you say, wow, there's too much rubbish here. There's a lot of ruin and I brought it on myself. It's good to recognize it first, but don't stop there. Realize that the Lord wants to rebuild you into a beautiful city. Mount Zion, glory of all the earth. He can, but you first turn to Him. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Take your first step of faith towards Him, and do what He says. It's like Mary at Cana of Galilee when they had the wedding. And they had no wine. And Mary tells the servants about Jesus. She says to them, whatever He says to you, that's the first step of faith. Whatever He says to you, do it. Realize that the temple was His presence. It was the place where they brought the sacrifice. And Christ was that sacrifice. He was the one that allowed them to approach near to God. Not in their own righteousness or in their own self-righteousness, but in the glory and righteousness of Christ. And that's the first step to rebuild. But what I want to really emphasize is they built the walls and the gates all around that have that fullness of the city. And that's brought out in Nehemiah. And the walls speak of protection. You see, when God tells us don't do certain things, like in the commandments, it's not because He's a cosmic killjoy, because He's trying to take away your joy. When He told Adam and Eve, don't do this, it's because He knew it would hurt them. He's the designer. He knows how we should best live. You know, when you have a car and you look at the operator's manual from the manufacturer, you say, this is the best way to run this vehicle. Follow His instructions. What's the same with God in His word? Don't do this or it's going to lead to destruction and death. They didn't listen. Israel didn't listen. We have to start listening. First step, draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Look to the Lord Jesus. And Take that first step of faith. But then don't stop there. Rebuild. Rebuild the walls for your protection. And the gates, and they speak of our liberty that is in Christ. And I want to look at the gates of Jerusalem. Each one is a picture of our life and building our life, and what should be characterized by our life, to have a life that is full of joy, that could be a glory to the Lord Jesus and an honor to Him. And in Nehemiah chapter 3, we find them back in Jerusalem. They left Babylon, they came back, and they started to rebuild the city. And there was rubbish everywhere and stones thrown down. And they had two tools in their toolbox, as our brother was saying. When they were building, said they rebuilt. It doesn't actually say, I think, that they had a trowel. But they said they had a sword on their side, and they rebuilt probably with a trowel. They had probably a trowel and a sword. And keep in mind, the enemy is not going to sit still while you try to rebuild. He leveled you once where he's broken down the wall. He doesn't want you to rebuild it. It's going to take effort on your part. It's going to take purpose on your part. And you have to be there with those, at least those two tools. A trowel, put these stone upon stone. And a sword, because you're going to have to fight. Do you want to be a ruin? Or do you want to be a glory to God? Do you want God to rebuild in your life? Whatever that issue is, or whatever, if you're not saved, your life is empty. You can go after all the gods you want. And it's interesting, the Jews in the Old Testament, the word for God was Elohim. But when they would talk about gods, the false gods, they wouldn't call them Elohim. They would call them Elulim, which meant nothings. They were nothings. That's what the false gods are. They pretend to be God. But when you get them, you find out they're nothing. You know, look at those who have made it. What ruined lives. I've often thought, for the most part, to be the child of a celebrity or celebrity parents is almost to be a curse. Because those parents are never around. They just throw money at the children and they say, that's how I love you. And how many lives? All you had to do is look at the lives. The image on TV and movies is, oh, they're always smiling. You ever notice that? In commercials, there's always a smile on their face throughout the whole time. Every entertainer just smiles, always. Like that's their life. They're not real. It's all fake. It's all scripted. So many of them are just ruined morally because they thought they could mock God. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. It's true of you too. It's true of me. We got to go back and rebuild. First, look to the Lord. Admit to Him the truth. Then start to rebuild. Look at the first gate, chapter 3 and verse 1. Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built a sheep gate. The sheep gate was where they brought in the sacrifices to go to the temple. And it speaks to us of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. When we get saved, when we have given our life over to the Lord, it's His. We're here to serve. You know, so many churches, people go to be entertained. You know, the professional ministry is up front. The rest is sit back and be entertained. That's not God's purpose for our life. When you're saved to serve. You're saved to give your life a living sacrifice. Obeying the will of the Lord. Proving the will of the Lord. Are you serving the Lord? Have you built the sheep gate? It's only reasonable. He laid down His life for you. He bore your sins and my sins so that I wouldn't have to bear them, so that I could have life. And it's only a reasonable thing to say, I'm your servant. What would you have me do? First response of Saul of Tarsus. Lord, what would you have me do? Have you ever said that? Lord, what would you have me do? What is my service? Your priority. Your priority in life. I want this ruin rebuilt. Rebuilt the sheep gate. Look at verse 3. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasanaah build, who also laid the beams thereof, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. The fish gate. What does the Lord say to Peter and the disciples? I will make you fishers of men. We're all fishermen. If you're saved, and you know it, and we sing, clap your hands or whatever it is. But you tell others. The best salesman is a satisfied customer. If you have seen the Lord come in and save your life, rebuild your life, make all the difference in your life and my life, there's others all around you that are in the same boat. They could pretend all they want to be happy in their sin. They can have momentary pleasure, but inside they know it's a ruin. They know it's empty. They know it's futile. They know there's got to be something else in life. How many young people are committing suicide? Why? Because they think after this life, it's got to be something better. What a deception. What a deception to kill yourself and wake up in a lost eternity in hell. How the enemy wants to destroy. Teach your children the truth. Teach them the truth of God's word. Teach them the truth of dying in your sins. Share in your own family the gospel. Share what the Lord has done for you. Let your children, when they look at you, know that you value the Lord. That you value His word. That you value the gospel. Not just Sunday morning, but every day. Build the fish gate. Let your neighbors know. Let others know about Christ. Not in a self-righteous way. Now that I'm better than you. No. In meekness, we realize it wasn't for the Lord. We're lost. We're dead. We're just like everybody else. We're no better than anyone. But He's a great one. He's the great Savior. He's the one we want people to follow, not ourselves. Build the fish gate. Verse 6. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, son of Paseah. The old gate. The old way gate. During the Reformation, as men started to go back to the Bible and teach the Bible, those that were opposed, the doctors of theology and all, would say, but the fathers taught this. And the fathers, the early church fathers, they said that. And the reformers said, we don't want the fathers. We want the grandfathers. You know, we want the apostles. We want to go back to the book. When we talk about the old gate, we're not saying the traditions of man. That's what the Pharisees were teaching as the word of God, the traditions of men. But we go back to the scriptures, back to the gospel, back to what God has stated in the word. If somebody can't show it in the Bible, don't believe it. The Bereans, they listened to what Paul said, but they searched the scriptures daily whether such things are so. Whether it be this pulpit or any other, if people cannot prove it to you by the word of God, then first of all, they should be just saying, well, I kind of think this would be, is what it is, or that is what it is. But if they can show it to you in the word of God, believe it. The old gate. Don't give up those old truths for what's new. We live in a day when anything that's new is considered better. That's false. Anybody with a PhD and does another study, yeah. New studies say this, another study says that, this poll means this, or that they think that anything new is better. It's not true. The Word of God stands against all the lies of men, regardless of their education. We stand on the word of God. Build the old gate. Verse 13, the valley gate. We prepared Hanan and the inhabitants of Zanoan. The valley gate speaks of humility. Philippians 2, we had it this morning again. Paul could say to those disciples, don't do anything through vain glory, through empty glory. And then he could show him the one who emptied himself of the glory. He showed him the Lord Jesus, who humbled himself. The valley gate. Spend a lot of time in the valley gate. Pride is inborn in us. I've shared this before. I don't know if it was here, but my children were young. My youngest son just started kindergarten, and he was young, arguing with his younger sister. And they couldn't agree, and he finally said to her, what do you know? You're not even in school. He was in kindergarten, yeah. Our pride is there from the start. And so often pride gets in the way of relationships with one another, gets in the way of our relationship with God, even pride in spiritual things. Recently I heard somebody say, they asked Corrie ten Boom about all the acclaim that she's received and notoriety of what she went through. And somebody asked her, does all this notoriety ever go to your head? And she said, well, you know, when the Lord Jesus was entering Jerusalem, amidst all the throng of hosannas and the branches being thrown down before him, do you think the donkey thought that it's all about me? You know, the valley gate is, you're not thinking of, it's not that you're trying to beat yourself down. You're not thinking of yourself at all. It's not, again, it's the opposite of self-esteem. It says in that chapter, it's esteeming others better than ourselves. It's not occupied with ourselves at all. It's occupied with the Lord. It's wanting to glorify Him. This is why I'm here, to honor Him. And if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary, that song, to God be the glory. That's the way it should be. The valley gate. Spend a lot of time at the valley gate. And the next one, verse 14. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, son of Rechab. The dung gate. What's that? It's getting rid of things in our lives that don't belong there. Don't belong in the city. The refuse. Paul could say, can all things but dung, I might win Christ. You know, all the things that were gained to me were loss for him. To be able to see and evaluate things with spiritual eyes. How many want to win the lottery? Gain everything for myself. Be proud. I am somebody. I'm something else. Get rid of all that. It's worthless in God's eyes. It will not draw us close to Christ. In fact, it will be just the opposite. Paul said, all the things I as a Pharisee could boast in, and I can do better than any of you all Pharisees over there. Because then he went through and numbered them. These were worthless. I considered them garbage, and I still consider them garbage. And he's in jail writing this. I've lost all things, but I've gained Christ. Christ. In the churches in Revelation, wow, I gotta hurry. I'll never get through the other gates. I've got 5 minutes. I hate to go long because usually our ears stop when I do. But look at chapter 3 and verse 29. This should be two messages. Let me do them quick. 3:15, the fountain gate. The gate of the fountain repairs Shalom. John tells us that the fountain of living waters can run out of us. It's the Spirit of God directing and leading in our life. Build that gate. Be in tune with His voice. Be led by His Spirit. Notice how in Scripture, the Spirit of God leading. Walk in the Spirit. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 26, the Watergate. Over against the Watergate towards the east, they built the Word of God. I was glad to see everybody memorize the Word of God. Wash, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Have his word filling your heart, memorizing it. Verse 28. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower. Is it 28? Yeah, from above, the horse gate repaired the priests. The horse gate speaks of spiritual warfare. Remember the donkey was peace, the horse was the war horse. Ephesians 6 tells us we are in a battle. If you get the city rebuilt, you can fight against the enemy. We fight against spiritual enemies, not physical ones. Verse 29. After him in the middle of the verse repaired Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. The east gate speaks of the rising of the sun, the second coming of Christ before us. The early believers expected the Lord to come at any time, and it affected their lives. Building the east gate. Verse 31. He repaired the end of the verse over against the gate. Mifkad. Mifkad means visitation or appointment or oversight. It has the idea of judgment seat of Christ, when God will review our lives, not for our sins, but for our faithfulness here. Live in view of that. Build the gate Mifkad. And also talks there about the prison gate. Prison gate speaks of discipline. Bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. I'm sorry I had to run through the last few gates. Study it on your own. There's a lot of things that I think can lead to in our own lives to rebuild the ruin. Don't stay as a ruin. Don't just sit and say, yeah, I've made a mess of my life. Oh, woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Get up and rebuild. Rebuild the temple. Rebuild the walls. Rebuild the gates. It takes work. It takes labor. Be intentional. I hear that word a lot recently. Be intentional. Mean it. And God will rebuild, and He'll rebuild your life. He'll rebuild in an area where the wall is broken down. And you can be a service to Him and a glory to Him and overcome every stronghold that the enemy wants to put in your life to defeat, and you can have victory. Shall we just pray? Lord, we thank You that You are a God that can take ruined lives, whether unsaved, and save them. And even, Lord, even believers, that sometimes we have not obeyed, we got ourselves into a mess. Help us, Lord, to rebuild and to follow what You say, and whatever You show us, to do it in faith. We ask a blessing on Your word. In Your name. Amen.